time now for a short, I think light-hearted interlude that we've decided to call Dictionary Corner. This week's uncontentious word is anti-Semitism. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, Nick Revel.
Yeah!
Last March, I was coming home from a gig in Leicester Square. I was on the Piccadilly line, and tube was rammed. It was about 11:30. Tube was rammed, and there's four or five Arsenal fans singing songs about Spurs. As you probably know, people in America who are listening on the podcast might not know. There's a big rivalry between Arsenal and Spurs. They're both North London clubs, and Arsenal have a go at Spurs for being a Jewish club, and there's certain songs which sort of allude to all that. And normally they're fairly sort of light-hearted within a football context. And these four or five guys, they're singing these songs, and you're thinking, oh, okay, so it's nothing sort of too serious. Then suddenly they go into this song, and it's the chorus of it is fucking Jew, and it was that kind of acceleration and gear change, and it was being thrown out to the entire carriage. And I'm sitting halfway down the seats, and all the seats are full, and I'm thinking, well, they can't get to me all at once because I've got one of the bars vertical next to me. So I'm thinking, well, I'm not having this. So I start eyeballing the biggest one, take my glasses off, left hand into my pocket because I've got my keys there, and I've got a biography of Charlie Chaplin in my right hand, and quite a big book, and I sort of turn it around so that the spine is facing out. I'm thinking, I'm going to get battered, but at least I'll take two of them. And so I'm eyeballing the biggest one, and he looks at me, and he goes, "What?" And I said, "Your singing is out of order. It's outrageous. It's anti-Semitic. I want you to apologise, and I want you to stop." And inside, I'm saying to myself, what the fuck are you doing? And then I'm answering back, and I said, well, you know, I'm going to get a batter in, but needs to take a stand here. That's totally out of order. It's anti-Semitic. And that's how I understand the word anti-Semitic to mean, that it means hostile and hateful of Jews, right? But it seems to me that, as I read the papers in the last few years, that the definition has kind of broadened out. So, excuse me, why are you crushing that peace protester with your bulldozer? Anti-Semitic! Is there perhaps a case for politely suggesting that meting out long-term collective punishment to an entire people on the grounds of national security is in fact possibly counterproductive to your own long-term self-interest? Anti-Semitic! I hate chicken soup. Anti-Semitic! This bagel's stale. Anti-Semitic! And last week, Gerald Scarfe got called anti-Semitic for doing that cartoon in the Sunday Times, which I'm assuming you're familiar with. But if you're not, it shows Benjamin Netanyahu with a trowel cementing a wall, the peace wall, and in the peace wall are trapped Palestinians in anguish positions, and the caption is, "Will cementing peace continue after the Israeli election?" And you know, the cartoon was certainly grotesque and offensive because Rupert Murdoch said it was. And when it comes to knowing grotesque and offensive, I think we all have to defer to Rupert Murdoch. But was the cartoon anti-Semitic? And actually, there was a lot of debate about this, but yes, it was, and I can prove it, and here's why. Gerald Scarfe has been planning that cartoon for 50 years, because one of the objections was that the cartoon alluded to the blood libel, the ludicrous idea that was around a lot in the Middle Ages, but you still get some fascist East European politicians accusing Jews of it now, which is the blood libel is the idea that Jews used to steal Christian babies and drink their blood and eat them. Now, my grandmother was Jewish, which therefore means my dad was Jewish, and I can honestly say that in our family, we never ever once killed and ate a Christian baby. Emmys. Okay, maybe once or twice, but only on very special occasions. And only very noisy Christian babies on long-haul flights, okay? So, you know. I think there's a certain amount of sort of moral leniency there. Now, when I was a kid, 5 or 6 years old, my dad and I, we used to go to Spurs together. And before we went, we always used to go around to Gerald Scarfe's house for a cup of tea, and Jane Asher would bake a cake. It was nice. None of this section is true, by the way. My dad was a scrap metal dealer. When was he ever going to meet Gerald Scarfe, let alone be friends with him? And, you know, Gerald Scarfe had never even met Jane Asher then. She would have been about 8. This was 50 years ago. But, you know, some people define the borders of Israel according to what they claim God said in the Old Testament. So I think we're all entitled to use blatant fiction from time to time to prosecute an argument. So anyway, there we were all round at Gerald and Jane's, and before the match, it was 1963, the glory days. And Gerald's showing my dad his latest cartoon, and my dad's showing Gerald the easy way to tell bronze from gunmetal. And just before we're heading off for the it was a happy day. We're heading off for the match, and Jane offers me another piece of cake. I'm only 6, but I'm very polite, and I say, "No, thank you. It's lovely cake, but if I have another piece, I shan't have room for my half-time pie at the Spurs." And Jane says, "Well, what's your favourite pie to have at half-time at the Spurs?" I say, "Christian baby, of course." And Gerald said, "What? You eat Christian babies at Tottenham Hotspur? This is such outrageous behaviour that for the next 50 years I shall draw insulting cartoons satirising the bad behaviour of figures from across the entire political spectrum, ostensibly with no ideological axe to grind, but secretly with the sole purpose of one day, 50 years from hence, getting away with making an anti-Semitic attack on the Prime Minister of Israel." And I'm trying to help, you know, so I say, "Oh, but it has to be a Christian baby because the foreskin is the best bit." Now, yeah, exactly, but this is my point entirely. Words are powerful and you shouldn't abuse them. Every time you use the word anti-Semitic falsely or cheaply, you diminish its evil. You reveal the weakness of your own moral position. You insult the victims of the Shoah and you encourage anti-Semitism. Back on the tube. The Arsenal fans are staring, I'm staring. And then the one I'm staring at says, "Sorry." And they shut up and they stop singing. And frankly, I was a bit relieved at that point, slightly amazed as well. And then it all breaks up into a bit of a chat, as it sometimes, you know, does on the tube after a little bit of a crisis. And this woman next to me, she says, "Are you Jewish then?" I said, "What?" She said, "Well, why else did you have a go at them for being anti-Semitic?" And I said, "Only Jews should object to anti-Semitism." And she said, "Oh, I see what you mean." I hope she did.